Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome back to Onceable. This is episode 115, and we are going to kick off a brand new Once Upon a Time. We're finally in season 7 with episode 1, Hyperion Heights. And I am Brittany, back as host for yet another season, even though we threatened to quit so many times in season 6. I managed to get a few co-hosts back on for this week. We have Kristen, Caitlin, and Laura. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Pretty good.
All right.
All right. We pulled Laura back out of November hiatus. She has not watched Once Upon a Time in quite a few months, almost a year, but we got her back with season 7, and we'll let her tell us a little bit about what it was like to watch the episode at Comic-Con. But first, just some reminders and housekeeping things. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet at us at Onceable, or you can comment on this post on hypeable.com, or just reach us in any way you see fit. DM us on Twitter. I'm always on it. I edit on my phone. So, you know, let us know what you're thinking of this season. So far, the responses have actually been pretty positive. So looking forward to getting back into the groove of Onceable. And we're just going to kick off this week a little reminder of who we are. So like I said, I'm Brittany. I'm hosting Onceable again this season, and looking forward to getting back into it. I guess we can also do our thumbs up, thumbs down while we're reminding people who we are. So I am a total thumbs up for season 7. Once Upon a Time was the first show I wrote about at Hypeable, and I have a very, very strong love-hate relationship with it. But I'm looking forward to season 7 trying to win me back after a tumultuous few seasons there. So let's go to Kristen.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Kristen. I have been with Hypeable for, 5 years, which is kind of crazy. You know, you guys probably mostly notice me around the Originals TVD stuff, although I've started to cover a little bit of comedy here and there. I'll be covering Good Place for us this fall, which I'm in love with. Yeah, and as far as this episode goes, I'm a little bit thumbs sideways. I'm not sold. Like, there's a lot of things that are really strong. Like, I like the new curse. I like that it's almost come full circle, but I'm a little wary of how they're using former characters. I'm a little wary of a little bit of the over-the-topness of the stepmother. So there's a few things that I'm concerned about, but I think later episodes will probably help with that. Like, I'm sure as I watch more, it'll get better. So it's a thumb sideways, but leaning towards up.
All right. And Caitlin, welcome back.
Yes, I am back. I'm Caitlin. I have also been at Hypeable for over 5 years, but I've only been on Onceable since, last hiatus?
Yeah.
You guys brought me in. I cover all the CW superhero shows, which on Hypeable, and there are about 87 of them at this point.
And they all premiere this week.
I know, they're back. I'm so excited.
Yay!
My shows are back. I'm very happy. And I'm also on Hero Hype, which is coming back. So we'll be talking about all those shows. But my thumbs up, thumbs down, I was also thumbs sideways. I was pretty lukewarm to the whole thing. There were points that I was just downright cringing. There were points that I was kind of okay towards. I didn't love really anything about it, but I was lukewarm enough to be okay with it, I guess. That's a real shining endorsement of the episode, but I didn't hate it, but I wasn't enamored with it either, but we'll talk about it.
All right. Hey, I like having differing opinions here. I'm honestly quite shocked that I am on Team Thumbs Up. I want to break that down a little bit. I think it has to do with the fact that Robert Carlyle was not in this episode a lot. It's a running theme with me. Yeah. But before we get there, Laura, welcome back. Tell us what Comic-Con was like.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so last season, I think I'm actually the only original member of Onceable on this. I actually may be like the only original person, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah, last season I stopped after hiatus. I moved from North New Jersey to Philadelphia and I just kind of took a little break from Hypeable. But aside from that, I also just took a break from Onceable. Once Upon a Time. I was just like so burnt and so like I didn't care, so didn't like the series, where it was going or anything. So I was just this past weekend at New York Comic Con, and Karen was originally supposed to be the person to cover the Once Upon a Time panel. And for one reason or another, Karen couldn't get there in time. And she's like, oh my gosh, can you go cover it? And I'm like, yeah, it's right down the block from where I am. I know the property. I could at least go cover it. And I walked in, honest to God, I did not know what happened at the last half of the season. Legitimately did not know. So I sit down and I'm watching this episode and I'm like, what the heck did I miss? Like, it took me a full 5 minutes to catch up that I'm going, oh, that's Henry. He's grown up. He's like, my mind was like spinning to catch up. Being so ambivalent to just, I downright hated it by the end of last year, what I watched, I'm like very on team thumbs up, surprisingly with you too, Britton. It reminded me of why I liked the show so much when I saw it in seasons 1 and 2 before it went down insane plot twists and moral ambiguity and other weirdness. I'm thumbs up with a caution. I'll put it that way. I'm hoping it doesn't go badly all over again. Yeah, I really liked it. And I also should say the crowd who is also there in the theater, which was this large theater. There was probably about 500 people that saw it. They clearly liked it also. Like, it was not a lukewarm crowd. It was a very positive crowd on this show.
Yeah, that's great. Laura was at Comic-Con, and I was at home at my computer ready to just take in all the information and try to make some sense of it. So it was exciting. Luckily, I had already seen the episode, but getting Laura's live reactions to it was actually kind of funny. She's like, what is happening? Is that Henry? Henry's really hot. I don't know what's going on. Wait, why are Hook and Rumpel together? It was so funny. So it's a really good message thread to read through.
Oh, it must be. And it also happened towards the end of like a really long day, and the weather had shifted to be like 90 degrees. We were just like hot and miserable. And I was like, am I having heat stroke that I'm not following this? Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. So I guess we're all semi-positive, mostly cautious, but we were able to, again, grab a few favorite quotes out of this episode, and none of our like real true favorite characters are still around. Even though they're in the flesh, they're all different people. So let's kick it off with Kristen and the new Regina.
Yeah, calling her Ronnie is going to be
so weird.
Anyway, yeah, my quote comes from Ronnie, who says, I sure hope so, or else I put the wrong sign out front. I'm Ronnie. What can I get you? More or less, you know, it was the introduction to the new Regina, and seeing that she still has a little bit of her, you know, spunk is nice, and I'm sure we'll get to know Ronnie better in the upcoming weeks. But, you know, her introduction was kind of fun because I definitely didn't expect it to be her behind the bar there. So
awesome. And Caitlin, what about you?
So mine was Lucy when she was judging Henry for his inability to write. And it was like witty opening line here on his laptop. And she says, you're waiting for the perfect first sentence, but no story is perfect. It just has to start. And I felt that was the writers putting their words to the audience in Lucy's mouth, basically saying, don't judge us too harshly yet. And please forgive all our plot holes and everything. So it felt about as meta as they get on the show. So I went with that one.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I think this episode, it's like, we're going to try and maybe rehash why Once Upon a Time is a thing and then loop you back into our normal craziness very slowly. No smoke monsters this week. So Laura, what was your favorite quote?
Mine was the one, and the whole theater laughed at this too, when Henry walks into the bar and looks at Ronnie and goes, imagine if I walked in here and said that I was your son. And the whole place just like burst out laughing when he did that, because we caught on by that point. I liked it. It was fun. It was a callback in a sense, in a sort of twisted way, to season one, episode one, when Henry shows up at Emma's doorstep and is like, "Hi, I'm your son." And only it's, I mean, there's a lot of that going on, a lot of parallels with the first season, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But I loved how it was sort of that in reverse with him and Ronnie. And that was, it was fun. And it was, and just like the look she gave him, which makes me wonder, how much does she know or not know, which is something else we can talk about.
Yeah, there's quite a few questions abound in what people know and what they don't know, and who's in on it and who understands what's actually going on. So that'll be interesting to dive into in a second. But first, I want to talk about the new and improved Alice. And her quote that got me this week was, when Henry's like, "Oh, you're Alice from Wonderland," and she snaps back and she's like, "And other places, you take one-way trip and it's all anyone knows about you." I liked the new Alice. She's very mysterious. Looking forward to getting to know her and her role. She clearly knows Rumpelstiltskin and knows a lot about, you know, what's going on with Henry, with his story hopping. It'll be interesting to see her role also in the real world. We're going to continue with a little bit of a shift that we did towards the end of our season 6 discussions, which is, instead of recapping the entire show and going through moment by moment, we're going to each bring something that we want to discuss about the episode to the group. So first, one thing I want to talk about, I'm going to kick it off just because it was something that Laura brought up immediately upon watching the episode, which is how hot Henry is. I am digging it. I'm into Henry, and I'm actually kind of into the story he has going on. I liked the new vibe of watching just Henry go about his day. He's, you know, driving people around for Swift, which is the Uber of Hyperion Heights. He is a writer. He has one hit book, and it is a fairy tale book, and you know, the way he plays into the curse is actually quite devastating. He believes that his wife and child are dead. He's sort of just existing in this almost like nothingness. And I was just really into his story. I mean, some of the writing was a little heavy-handed with trying to, you know, get Lucy and to reflect him when he was young and have him reflect Emma. But other than that, I thought that he played Henry so well, including the scenes in the Enchanted Forest, where, you know, he's still that optimistic young kid. He comes up with operation names, and he's still trying to help people, and that's what he does, and he doesn't give up on people, and he has a magic motorcycle that runs on, I don't know, hope or something, and fairy tears, God only knows. Yeah, I just wanted to get your general opinion of this new Henry, not even just the actor, but just where you think his story's going and if it's working for you or not, having Henry lead. It's a little sad to see Jared Gilmore not get the chance to play Henry with a storyline. I think that's a little... I feel bummed for him. I mean, we got to see him ride off into the sunset, and he is in a scene from next week that was released at Comic-Con, but it's still sad to just, like, you know, oh, Jared Gilmore, you don't get to live out Henry's life. But we have Andrew West, so what do you guys think about him?
Well, speaking of Jared Gilmore, because I wanted to talk about the scene we got with him in this episode. Mm-hmm. I really liked what they gave Henry to drive him to leave Storybrooke. And, like, the fact that there isn't a built-in way for him to come back. They made it clear that he's leaving without a method of getting back to Storybrooke. So it's not like we're just counting the days till we end up back there and get X appearances from this many people in the season finale. Like, it really is a new start. And I liked that they included, like, all of the empty books that we all kind of would return to. Like, we've been dealing with one storybook for a long time. Like, there was an entire library of empty ones. Like, what is all that? So I really, really liked the nod to everything that's come before and how they're pushing it forward. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. As far as the new Henry goes, I mean, I think he's doing a great job. I like that they kind of went full circle with the whole he is now the cursed one and his daughter has to convince him. Like, I actually really like the symmetry there, and I think it's going to be fun to see it flipped on its head a little bit. And yeah, but I like what they're doing.
I like that the creators were calling this the requel. When I went to the panel, they're not calling it a sequel. They're not calling it a reboot. They're calling it a requel, and kind of like catching up with what you're saying, Kristen. Like, I think we'll get into this too, is like, it's sort of a reboot, sort of isn't, sort of a sequel, sort of, like, it has different elements, and it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate all this as we go through.
I was getting so tired by the end of season six of how much they were repeating themselves, with just like every season was some kind of new curse. So I sort of don't love this, honestly, because I feel like they've returned to the well too many times that this loses a lot of impact for me, that I think that if they hadn't been so repetitive in the past, that it might be more powerful for me. And I also find the new Henry significantly less attractive than Brittany does. So, oh, sorry. No.
I mean, that's completely fitting with how Caitlin and I work. Just, yep. We're always on opposite ends of the spectrum with everything. So,
it's true.
He's very much the boy next door. Like, yes. he's not hook hot, but he's like, oh, got God, the no. boy next door thing going.
Oh, but Hook, man, he is. I don't know what's going on with his hand.
I do agree with Caitlin, though. Like, there, honestly, I want to see another smoke monster. Like, I want to put a hole in my head, you know, because we've had like the green smoke monster, the purple smoke monster, the bluish gray smoke monster. We just don't want another smoke monster. I kind of agree with you on that, too. There are some things that, like, yeah, I can see where you're coming from on the curse, but I'm hoping there are other things that they did to death that we don't get again.
Yeah, like, I appreciate the symmetry that they're going for. I just think, for me, it loses some of the impact because they've called stuff back so much in the past. So I see what they're going for. I appreciate it. But they, through their own actions, have undercut some of its power for me.
What do you guys think? I think this sort of touches on a few things from Caitlin and Laura that you may want to talk about. But what do you think of the new love interest, Jacinda, and that Cinderella story? Because it is repetitive, but it is a different version of the story. And I think, I personally think that the Jacinda single mom versus the evil stepmom, I feel like this whole season, I understand we're repeating, and I totally get that repetitive fatigue because it's something we complained about ad nauseum last season. I feel like every week on Onceable, we're like, oh, again. But I feel like these stories are a little deeper and darker, not necessarily just in the context of, you know, having Henry's family be this curse, believing that they're dead, but just that, I don't know, I felt that they were a little heavier, which I personally enjoyed. I liked that there was a little bit more modern drama as opposed to like, oh, you're related to you and you're related to who. Like, there's no, we're kind of like wiping the family bush that we had clean a little bit. We trimmed it up a bit and, you know, we're getting these new characters and it's sort of a fresh start.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there's a certain degree that obviously we're meant to have, I'm presuming we're meant to be retconned that we don't remember that there was a Cinderella who was on again, off again in the previous universe with a completely different storyline, who was blonde and blue-eyed. Like, clearly we are not meant to remember that whatsoever.
I don't think it's a retcon. Yeah. I think she's one of the alternate Cinderellas, exactly, from those other storybooks.
Yeah, okay, so then that makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that was something that might have, by tuning out what was happening with Once Upon a Time, would have definitely gotten lost in translation. Because I cover Once Upon a Time news, obviously. I pay attention to that. But, like, it was more so that there are other versions of stories to be told. Like, Henry was saying even in this episode at the beginning, like, oh, what if there's a French Cinderella and there's this Cinderella and there's all sorts of stuff.
That makes sense. Like, I was okay with it, but I could also see, like, how viewers coming back a bit on again, off again might not catch that right away. But that does make sense to me. One thing I did like on it was a diversity level in that we're not just constantly seeing the white-skinned, like, people with major action. I mean, they did do a little bit eventually to diversify once upon a time, but it is nice that there is somebody who is right at the front and center and is clearly going to be in the crux of the action that is somebody with a little more diversity. I just am slightly cautionary that we're using a Latina actress to go down a story of single motherhood and all that, but I'm looking for it to be good and positive, hoping.
Caitlin, what did you want to touch on with the introducing other versions of fairy tales? Are you a fan of this? Are you a little leery about it?
I actually really like this idea because it feels kind of original and it's true because there are so many versions. And I was wondering over the hiatus how they were going to, you know, approach this and without these characters that we're familiar with. And this is kind of the perfect way to bring in semi-familiar faces, like names we know, but with different stories attached to it. So I thought it was actually a really creative and interesting way to approach this. I wouldn't have thought of it, but I was trying to figure out how they were going to navigate this reboot. And I think this is actually a really smart way to do it because now they can... They've already shown that they're willing to do kind of whatever they want to twist the versions we know. Well, now they can twist even more. And I like the creative freedom that it gives. So this is something I'm actually very positive about.
I totally agree. The only thing I'm not positive about is the fact that Rumpelstiltskin knows what's going on and, like, clearly knows about all these other stories and can work his little influence in the way. But we haven't seen him yet, so... I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm going to let things play out a little bit here and not get myself worked up and nervous for nothing because it hasn't happened yet. All right. So let's talk about the curse for just a little bit because clearly we have some people sticking around in Hyperion Heights, which Henry doesn't actually live in Hyperion Heights. He was brought to Hyperion Heights. He lives like a few neighborhoods over, I'm guessing. Don't know the structure of Seattle. Just guessing here. So he comes in with Lucy, and this curse has Ronnie and Weaver and Detective Rogers, who made detective at the end of the episode, who kind of have no idea who they were, are, anything like that. So this, I'm not sure where we're going to get with this curse. And Kristen, you bring up the opportunity for cameo possibilities, which I think is a great area to, like, kind of go into next because it was revealed this week that, and at Comic-Con, that Emma is in next week's episode. This is probably her only cameo this season, but there are other people, like, you know, you had Henry, like, he wrote this story, his story, so does that mean that Jiminy Cricket's going to come back in some other way, or... Who else? So who were you thinking about with the cameos?
I mean, I don't know if I have like a laundry list. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see these people because I want this story to tell itself. Like, I want them to tell their own story. But it is always fun to see someone who had a big presence in the previous, you know, in previous movies or whatever to kind of pop in. So... Just Storybrooke was so exclusionary in Maine. It was literally had boundaries and they couldn't cross them. This seems to be like the complete opposite. Like people can just wander in and out of Hyperion Heights and it's not really that cursed town thing. Whereas, you know, there are people in the town that are cursed, but they're not like necessarily trapped there. They're trying to like keep them there so that they don't get lost. I love that idea because I think it opens up the world to then it can include people from the previous seasons of Once Upon a Time. I almost said Onceable, without going, you know, without completely losing track of the new story. So, like, yeah, it'd be nice to see Jiminy Cricket. We know we're going to get to see Emma. I would love to see, like, just, you know, Granny taking a vacation, ends up in Seattle and he doesn't recognize her or something like that. Or, you know, like, I think there's a possibility that you could see just about anybody from the old series that might want to, you know, pop in or could have a legitimate storyline that somehow intertwines if they decided to go that way next season or something like that. So I think it's nice that this leaves that open and yet also makes it its own story.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And plus we have, like, I mean, I would really like for Leroy to come back and just yell one more time that something is coming.
Because Leroy!
That's true. Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Pongo. I want to see Pongo. Pongo.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so great. I feel like with this season, because we have all of these characters whose happy endings are sticking. That was one of the big things that Eddie and Adam have stressed over and over and over again. The happy endings that we saw, they happened. Everyone had their happy ending. But that's just one, like, moment in time, and then life goes on. So, like, sure, Emma and Hook are all happy and lovey-dovey. Okay, but then they gotta keep going. Like, that was one ending, and this is a new, we're picking up in the middle of whatever their new beginning was. So it'll be interesting to see who has moved on from their happy endings and where they went and what that means for them. I know that another big stressor for this season was that Hook is going to have an interesting relationship with Hope. And, you know, of course, it's probably going to be devastating for a few episodes, but everything will be fine. Getting a little bit of sad Hook next week, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it. We do have Regina, Hook, and Rumple, and I do want to talk about Rumple, a.k.a. Weaver, whoever he is in this world, because I strongly believe that he knows everything that's going on, because he has to. So we need to have someone with the key, and why Once Upon a Time, as we discussed, is really good at repeating itself, and I feel like he knows what is everything that's going on. It cannot be a coincidence that as soon as Hook starts to get a little leery, that he's assigned to be a detective with him. And Alice kind of knows a little bit of, she knew that Henry coming in was a big deal.
Yeah, like, to me, like, I feel like Rumple does, just for the name Weaver and the idea to me of, like, just weaving fates and things like that, I really feel like he clearly would be in the know. I question whether Hook and Regina, are they just bonding with Rumple in the sense of, or Weaver, whatever we're meant to call him now, are they just like the resistance? Like, they're mounting a resistance against, you know, the evil stepmother, but they don't really know about their backstories or just have flashes of it? Or did Reggie really know who Henry was when he came in but has to put up a facade of not knowing? That was really my question. I wasn't really sure.
I don't think they know. Hook and Regina, I don't think that they know anything. Especially Regina Ronnie, whatever her name is. They don't know. I don't think she knows. I think she's just being herself. I think Regina, that defiant, no, I'm not going to take what you say today and make it work tomorrow, that is, like, just Regina through and through. And I think that those characters, I think, are, like, inherently buried inside of them. So for Hook to be flipping through and feeling something with the book that Henry wrote and seeing Emma, I don't think that that was necessarily supposed
it was like
to,
a
like,
it was like a suppressed memory.
Exactly.
Like a, okay. Yeah. All right.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. Like Hook. Like Hook was the one for me. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he doesn't know. But I felt like there was a moment between him and Rumple Weaver. I'm never going to get these names right. But
good.
I felt like it was like a hey,
And I don't know that he's fully in the know, but I felt like they maybe know each other on, like, I'm just curious if there's some sort of underground resistance movement or something that's going on here that maybe we'll know more about. I just felt like this wasn't their first time meeting, or they kind of know, like, they're going to be on the same side. I don't know. Maybe I read it wrong.
I mean, I think you can hand wave that as they're both technically police, so they've probably run into each other.
And they're both kind of like, oh, of course they're going to put the two dudes with the accents together. Yeah, I think there's a lot that is going to have to be cleared up, and I think that this is going to be the deciding factor of season 7 for me. Is they set, everything is set up now, and how well they're going to make it work. Because as we know from watching the show for almost 6 years, that sometimes the setups are so good and the payoff is horrible. So like, we went to the underworld and we almost didn't make it out. It was, the setup was there and it was so bad. We watched
meandering
them
through the underworld.
They had a phone booth that they were calling the mainland to talk to their deceased. I can't. I'm never going to get over the underworld. It was so bad.
It was yellow tinged, and that's what made it underworldy.
Oh, God, the secret tone.
Easter egg tinge.
Oh, man. It was so bad. And the Wicked Witch and him. Oh, my gosh. I can't. I just cannot. Speaking of Wicked Witch, she's coming back this season, so I wonder how they're going to work her in.
Yeah, I'm curious on that too. And is she coming back with baby, without baby?
Oh, no, like, better. That was my number one. I wrote up
Robin,
and I was like, no, no baby, no baby, no mention of the baby, no mention of the word Robin. Just banned
no.
From
Adam, Eddie. No,
yeah,
no babies.
No. You have a chance to rewrite here. Rewrite. This is where we rewrite.
I mean, enough time is, it seems like several years have passed.
Yeah, so.
So I imagine she's grown up to some degree.
Yeah. And they were citing 8 to 10 years, because that was actually a question asked at the Q&A of the panel. And they said how much time was meant to have passed. And they wouldn't pin it down exactly, but they said 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, that's how Once Upon a Time gets around a lot of things. There's some captions that are like, some years ago. I'm like, come on, just give me a timeline here. They're not good at timelines, they're not good at family trees. Two things working against Once Upon a Time. But we're still here, guys. We're still here. For some reason. They keep pulling us back in.
It's a miracle.
It is. Honestly, somehow. It truly is. I watched it, the episode ended, the screener ended, and I was like, huh. I was not ready to feel like I needed to watch episode 2, and I did. So this is where we're at. I do want to kind of go wrap up this episode and just sort of talk about some predictions that we may or may not have, and just whether or not we feel like we're going to stick around. I've already kind of said that I definitely am. And the photos from episode 2 with Emma, I'm really actually kind of looking forward to finding out what happened to her, what's going on with Hook. I think it's going to set up a good story for him. The episode is called A Pirate's Life. The episode I am not looking forward to is episode 4, because that's when Emily returns and we're going to get the Rumpelbells wrap up, which I don't care about at all. I mean, we have to get through it, but we have...
Yeah.
Couple episodes.
See, now,
to get there.
Here's the thing, I'm curious, and again, because obviously I did not see, and I'm like trolling like Wikipedia right now to figure out how many episodes I missed, which is about, I guess, 12-ish or so episodes. I mean, I feel like it's strongly, strongly implied in episode 1 that Emma is dead. I mean, because he, like, Henry went to the cemetery. He's like, wasn't there a cemetery here? And I mean, she's not around. Like, I feel like Emma is dead, is my gut. Maybe I'm wrong with that, and I'm wondering if Belle had met the same fate. Is that impossible or not? Or I don't know.
We don't actually know anything about anyone being alive or dead.
Okay. Because I definitely got like a,
oh, you weren't Emma's around for their accelerated son being alive. Oh man. Whoa.
No.
You missed
I mean, he was like haunt. I mean, he was like coming back to visit them before he was born. Like, that didn't quite, yes.
Oh, yeah, no, it got much worse. I forgot that you were, okay, yeah, so the season basically ended with Rumpel and Belle and Baby happy, David, Mary Margaret, Baby happy, Zelina, Baby happy, Regina alone, kind of happy, Emma, Hook, together, married, happy, Henry, doesn't have a direction in life, hates singing in the musical episode, happy. To be determined. Yeah. Oh, you missed the musical episode, Laura. Wow. Oh.
You should go watch the musical episode.
At least just watch Hook's performance, because it's so great.
Yeah. It's worth it enough.
I forgot that a musical episode happened. I totally blacked out.
So did I, actually.
Whoa. Oh, man. I would highly recommend watching the musical episode out of context.
See if I can do that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I forgot about the musical. Oh, wow. I'm having horrible flashbacks. Let's move on to whether or not we're going to stick it out. And maybe let's give, like, what could possibly be the breaking point for us. Kristen, let's start with you. Are you going to stick it out?
I'm definitely going to stick it out for a while. I find the show interesting, even if it doesn't always work. There's never a truly dull moment. There's always something ridiculous going on. So yeah, I'll probably stick around for a while. As far as a breaking point, I don't know if there's anything truly terrible that could happen. If I choose to stop watching, it would probably be because I'm bored. It would be because they're doing the same stuff over again, and it feels like they've just put new people in, new characters in the same roles. Like, if it starts to feel like we should just be in Storybrooke and this could be Emma telling him something or, you know, something like that, that would probably be enough for me to just check out and, you know, maybe binge it next year and you know, give the show another chance next season. Who knows? One thing that I'm kind of looking forward to maybe figuring out is Drizella, who's being played by Adelaide Kane, who we didn't see much of in this episode. I feel like her involvement could get me more invested in the new show, like in the requel or whatever they're calling it. She's no slouch. Like, she's been around with Rain. Rain just ended. So, like, she's a bit, she's got a lot to offer the show, and so I'm really hoping that she's got a major part to play, and we know that she's playing Drizella, but, like, what happened to Anastasia, and, like, you know, there are two stepsisters, and we only really see one, so there's a lot of little things about the Cinderella story and everything involved in that that have me really intrigued right now, so we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here.
All right, and Caitlin, how you doing?
I mean, I'm sticking with it for now, but I would say that Emma being dead might very well be a deal breaker for me.
I know. Honestly didn't even consider that to be an option, but it's so, it could be.
I thought I saw some interviews over the summer where they were saying, like, don't worry about Emma and Hook, like, they're fine or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's the case, but if they went down that route, I would be very upset and probably upset enough to quit the show. Emma and Killian were my main reason I was watching the show by the end, so that would do a lot to spoil a lot of the work that went into the last several seasons. Things I'm intrigued about, honestly, I can't say I'm particularly invested in anything yet, so I'm invested in a lot of the acting getting better, I'll put it that way. Especially the new stepmother and the new Cinderella. I'm really going to need their acting to step up a bit.
All right. Fair. Laura, what about you?
If it got into complete lunacy again with Zelina and the non-consensual baby with Robin and that whole shenanigans mess of, like, if we could just not have a weird pregnancy storyline, I would be, like, most appreciative with dubious, you know, consent happening. Like, I just don't want to go down that rabbit hole again. I also really
am kind of leery about it turning into, oh, what movie do we just have the rights to now? And let's write something that ties into that movie for no apparent reason other than we want to sell merchandise. Like, there were moments where that got really crazy too. So kind of cautious on the Hyperion Heights thing, because obviously that's a bit of a cameo because Hyperion is their book imprint. I mean, it's fine at the moment. That doesn't really, really bother me, just a name reference, but I don't want it to start just to become a constant product placement vehicle.
All fair and valid points. I will be sticking around. They did do a lot to win me over with this premiere. I really was on my way out in season six. So I don't know what it is about season seven. Maybe it's because I kind of gave it it was such a good summer to just get as far away from it as possible because they announced all of these changes early on in the summer. So like even right before the finale aired, we knew who was leaving, who was coming back. Like all of that news had already broken. And I think if that news cycle had hit throughout the summer, I would have been so exhausted and felt that this was more of a like, oh, look at this shiny object and ignore all the stuff that's been happening over months. But since it was a news dump, I think I got a nice break from Once Upon a Time over the summer, so I'm into it. My deal breaker, as always, is a Rumpel-centric story. I don't think that they can reinvent the wheel with him enough in a new season to make me care at all. So the less they try to make him work, the better for me. Honestly, right now, he hasn't done much. He's still kind of a mystery, but he was so bad and unredeemable and just a horrible, rotten person. I can't have another Rumpel, I love power more than anything type of storyline. So episode 4 might be the breaking point, honestly, for me, but we'll see. I'm going to stick around, but if it does become too, I love Robert Carlyle, but if it does become too Rumpel heavy again, I'm going to have to step away and maybe binge it eventually, but we'll see. For now, I'm in it. And we do have a few listener feedbacks. So like I said earlier at the top of the episode, if you want to talk to us about Once Upon a Time, you can reach out to us on Hypeable, or you can talk to us on our Twitter at Onceable. We can just do a Kristen, Caitlin, Laura rundown. They're short, sweet tweets.
Sure, sounds good. The first one comes from Kate at Audacious Kill. She says, unsure about this new Once Upon a Time. I heart Alice, but we really don't know much about new characters. Yeah, there's still some ground to cover, and I'm pretty sure we'll get more in the next couple of weeks. We'll see where we're at. So I hope you keep watching, Kate.
All right, and our next tweet comes from Megan Carlyle at Megan C. 7585. She says, Hook in uniform, just saying. No, but really, I enjoyed it. I have questions, of course, but cautiously optimistic. And I think that seems to be where a lot of us are at the moment.
I have the next one. It's from Brit, who is at x0_Brit_Brit. And she says, I really liked it. Thought it felt fresh, and I'm optimistic about the season now. Yeah, I would agree. It definitely was fresh. It was, as they said, that requel, the reboot prequel. And yeah, I would agree that I would say most of us have like a sense of optimism about it, but cautious optimism in wanting to know what's going to happen and can they keep this up for a season or two or even more. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and so some of us, maybe not all of us, but we'll have a mixture of people popping in and out at least until we all decide that Once Upon a Time crossed the line. And next week, our episode is Season 7, Episode 2, A Pirate's Life. Again, this is Emma's farewell. I'm sure we'll all have a lot of feelings. There was a photo released of Hook hugging adult Henry, and I don't know what happened to me. I became a hot mess. It's just, I don't know why I love those two so much. Aww. So even though it's not Jared Gilmore, I still felt so much happening to me when I saw that photo. So, yeah, we're going to get them reuniting, and there's a whole message in a bottle thing. What we'll see how they write off or write in Emma for future appearances. And yeah, so thanks for coming back to Onceable. We're here until we're not. So until next time, I'm Brittany.
I'm Kristen.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.